Well, I'm sorry Jim hasn't had much sleep. I've had nice naps nearly every day. I think we should extend the conference another week. How many of you agree? I mean, see? He didn't hear that. Okay. I want you to open up to two places, Luke 16 and John. Whoop. John 16. I didn't realize it was the same chapter. Let me make a mark here. Hallelujah. Just a moment. I want you to notice, one of my favorite parables has always been the prodigal son, because I was one. I was raised in church, and I knew better than to get involved in a lot of sin and things. But by the time I had a car and discovered girls, my interest in the kingdom waned greatly, and for many years I strayed. I've spent my time slopping pigs, and if you'll allow me, in the world. And so I know what it is to be a prodigal, and then for God to restore you back and receive you back. But in these last days, I've got to tell you, He's giving more insight. See, that story, it is about the prodigal, but really who Jesus was really talking to there, He was correcting the Pharisees. They were the elder sons. They were the ones that didn't go off into the world. Their sin was religion. I hate to tell you this, but their sin was religion. Okay? And so I want you to notice something now. Since we're all so familiar, I'm going to give you a two-week seminar in about 5 minutes. Is that okay? All right? I really am. This is things to come. It has everything to do with the conference. It's how our mindset is going to change from gratefulness as a restored prodigal. Okay? And that's good. We don't ever want to really lose that. But our mindset is going to change to empowered children of the kingdom with an inheritance that is inexhaustible. Now let me show you. So you already know the story of the prodigal. I'm not going to read the whole thing. So let's pick it up with the elder son. So let's see now. We're having to back up. I said Luke 16. We're really going to start in 15. So you know the story. We'll just read the end of it here. It says in verse 23, "Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found," and they began to be merry. Well, that's the prodigal son, and that's really what the kingdom is about, is restoring lost souls back to the kingdom. Now let's look at the elder son, verse 25. "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." Now notice, it's his brother. Can you see that in your Bible? Does it say thy brother? Now watch. "And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son," notice he won't even call him his brother. You can almost hear the disdain in his religious voice, can't you? "But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." Now verse 31 is our verse. We read all that to get to verse 31. "And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me." Now notice, "and all that I have is thine." I wouldn't finish it out. It said, "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother," notice the father, he keeps putting it back to your brother, "was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." This, one day I was reading through here, and I don't know how many times I'd read this parable, and those words, talking to the elder son, "All that I have is thine." Yet this elder son did not know that he had that inheritance. He was in the family, but his fellowship was so small. his relationship really with, well, not, is that the right, his fellowship with his father was so little that in his mind, his father wouldn't even give him enough for a party. And the truth of the matter is, the father had already given him an inheritance that was inexhaustible, but he did not know it. Now one day I'm reading that those words, all that I have is thine. Now hold your place there, we're coming back. All that I have is thine. Go over to John 16. And it dawned on me something that Jesus said in the context of talking about us. Look at John 16, 15. All things, I hear pages turning. You need to see this in your Bible now. Over there in John, what the Father said to the elder, excuse me, over there in Luke, what the Father said to the elder son, all that I have is thine. Now notice, Jesus, would you call Jesus the elder son? Now notice, verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. That's good for you, Jesus. But now notice the rest of the verse. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Why would the Holy Spirit do that? Because we have been made joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have got to come into this mindset. I double dog dare you to say it in church. Say, I am a son, none diminished, and all that the Father has is mine. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack. But those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I can do, and I can afford to do, anything my Father tells me to do. Because all that the Father has is mine. I never serve mammon. Mammon can't tell me what I can do or what I cannot do because I serve God. Money serves me as I serve the kingdom. Glory to God. Did you get that? Did you get that? Now that was a lick of the top ice cube again. Those that's been here, we've got to drink that entire glass because it's going to cost money. I don't know if y'all know this, but like when I wanted to rent a car to come and I plainly told Hertz Company that I was coming to preach the gospel, do you know they still wanted money to rent me the car? I heard they charged Dave for the airline ticket. It costs money, even though the gospel is free. When we give into these offerings, yes, sir. Go back to Luke 16 now. Now, do you think Jesus had that mindset? I think he did. I am my Father's son. All that the Father has is mine. I mean, Jesus could, he didn't, but he could just look at that guitar over there and he could just say, gold. And that thing would become gold. And his ministry would be financed probably through, you know, the rest of his life. God chose not to do it that way. Because he wants us to be participants and co-laborers with him in the gospel. So that fruit can abound to our account. And that fruit is not a hundredfold return. That fruit are the precious souls of the earth that are won into the kingdom. Amen? Now notice, even though Jesus, I know he has that mindset. All that the Father has is mine. Notice when he's teaching this to the Pharisees, he brings that out. All that the Father has belongs to the elder son. But notice, what's the very next thing he teaches? Stewardship. There was, look at verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1. There was a certain rich man which had a steward. I was reading through that one time, and the Holy Spirit said to me, Jesus is your rich man. The question is, does he have any stewards? And are you willing to be one of them? I'm telling you, there's a process, there's a dual process going on in those that are pressing in. On the one hand, we have to come into this awareness, this consciousness. All that the Father has is mine. I am a son undiminished. I can do all things. We have to have, and right at the same, in the same breath, all that I have is yours, Lord. I am your steward. See, Jesus is the Son sold out. He is the love and the apple of his Father's eye. But at the same time, he is the Son who chose to serve. That's us. We've got to have exactly that same duality. I am my Father's Son. I am heir to all that he has. I can do everything, but Father, at the same time, I bow, not my will, but thine be done. While I'm on this earth, and that brings us down to, I said 5 minutes, I got 30 seconds, come on. You know how I know? He told me, you got 30 seconds. Yes, sir. Okay, so come right on down, look at this. Verse 9 is the key to stewardship. I say unto you, Jesus said, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. I don't have time to teach on this, but when it says when you fail, all he's saying is, unless Jesus returns, our natural course, we're one day going to die. The only time that we get to be his stewards is the time that we have on this earth to steward money. He says, I'm saying to you, during that period of your time, spend your life like you know your stewardship is limited. Use your money with the mindset of a steward. So many of us, we don't ever even think about it. We purchase things and we make plans and we do things without ever even asking the Lord. James says, even you businessmen, don't be saying, I'm going to go to such and such a town and spend a certain amount of time and make a certain amount of money. He said, no, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. See, and that's the mindset also we've got to have. We say it with me again. I am a son.
I am a son.
All that the Father has is mine.
All that the Father has is mine.
And at the same time, I am the Son who chooses
to serve.
Father, all that I have is yours for the asking. In Jesus' name. Amen. So that's why we say in offering time, I really only know two ways to give. One is as his steward. And there are times when he'll say, I want you to give a certain amount. Sue and I, when we're together, we practice that. Because we figure he's real. How many of you think he's real? He's not going to tell me to give $50 in that offering and tell her to give $100. So in the early days, we'd compare notes. Are you hearing anything? And if we was kind of hesitant at first, you know. And it wasn't always exactly the same amount, but we made a covenant agreement in the beginning that if we heard two different amounts, we were going to give the bigger one. We figured that was a good safeguard against greed, right? But I'm telling you, most of the time, and I mean most of the time, if one of us hears an amount, the other one hears that same amount. He is real. But if I don't hear him, then the other way, we looked at it earlier in the week, let every man purpose in his own heart what he'd like to give. That's the ones that really bless your Father. I want to remind you again of my little lily cakes. My little lily cakes doesn't have any money to give Papa. But you'll be thinking about Papa at school. Now, she was a little younger when she'd do this, but she'd take that coloring assignment, and she'd color it, and all the time she was coloring, in her little heart, she was going, this is for my Papa. Now, it may have been out of the lines. That orange may not, you know, that may have been overlapping the blue. And you don't have enough money to get one of those from me. My granddaughter made that for me. That came from her heart. You don't have enough money. And that's the way our Father feels. Every time you search your heart and say, Father, this is for you. This is for you, Father. This is for the kingdom. This is for your gospel. Amen. Amen. So if the ushers, usherettes, slash whoever, whoever's coming, usherettes, okay. Ooh, look at the usherettes we have tonight. Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, you heard what was spoken. I didn't threaten anybody. I didn't bribe anybody. Father, everything that comes into this offering comes from either an obedient heart who heard your voice, or else it comes from the joy of their heart because we love you. Father, I know your hand of blessing is upon your people. In Jesus' name, receive this offering as a sweet-smelling savor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.